First Corinthians. We've been looking at these first two chapters for a couple of weeks here. I think that it's absolutely necessary that you see the import of the first two chapters of this book in order that you might have any understanding at all of the rest of it. And this is indeed the very heart of Paul's message to all of the churches that he ministered to, is that there is no good thing in the flesh, and there is no understanding of the things of God apart from the grace of God being applied to a man to show him that truth. Now, this is the thing that he begins this book with, and of course he begins it against the backdrop of those who some said, well, you know, we're following this great teacher, and another said, well, no, we like this teacher, and this, that, and the other. He said, all of that doesn't make any difference. You know, Paul or Apollos, or even those that say they're of Christ. He said, there is only one message that we have, and it is this, and that is that after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Now, if you want to make somebody mad, you tell them that. That there's no way under the sun that they can know God. Now, everybody out there by nature believes they can know God, don't they? Why, you don't tell me who God is. You know, don't you get around to telling me anything. I already know. Cain knew, didn't he? He said, well, I'm going to grub up some sweet potatoes here and get this stuff. And why, God's just got to be happy with this. I mean, look what I did. I mean, wouldn't God be happy with what I did? I mean, you know, it's a hard thing. I mean, it's hard for people that believe in the grace of God and know and understand these things. It's hard to believe that there's not one thing on earth that a man can do that will recommend him in the eyes of God. Not a thing in the world. There is no action of man, there is no way of man or anything else that can gain him one speck of respect with God. And you know why? Because God knows that we are dust. He formed and fashioned us right out of the ground. And He knew exactly what He was making when He made man. He made him just exactly like He wanted him to be. Now, I know that is, you know, there's a lot of people who tell you, well, you know, things didn't work out right. No, things worked out. Dear brethren, everything's working out. I mean, just like Brother Al was bringing to us this morning, that study about Isaac and Jacob and Esau. Listen, there was never any doubt how that was going to come about. I mean, every jot and tittle of the actions that took place by those people happened just exactly according to the way God ordained it to occur. Now, that doesn't change the fact that Jacob was a deceiver. In fact, it magnifies the fact that he was. It shows what men are. See, when we read these things, it'll humble us in the dust. Because what we see in that is just the revelation of what we are by nature. When you see a guy take a semi-truck and drive down through a crowd of people and kill them. Now, our natural reaction is, oh, buddy, we just need to get them. We need to kill people like that and all that kind of stuff. Well, I'm not saying they don't need to be people. I'm not going there. But what I'm saying is the first thought that ought to really come to our mind is, Lord, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd have been in that truck. that'd be me. Now, when the Lord shows you what you are by nature, then you don't have any place to glory. And you can't start looking at what all you've done and what you didn't do. Because you know that apart from the grace of God, you'd perish. There's just no other avenue of wherein to stand or to approach unto God. And so it is that after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. In the wisdom of God, He ordained it so that men wouldn't know Him. Why? Because He's unknowable. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, Paul said, or who hath been His counselor? I mean, the way of God's past finding out. Just when you think you know a little bit, you'll find out you don't know anything. And so it is. And so we come to chapter 2, and we've looked at some of these verses, and we'll go through quickly. Brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring you the testimony of God, not necessary. Man's wisdom is not necessary to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying sinner. It's not necessary. Now, the Lord does sometimes use men in that endeavor. But He doesn't need to. And it's certainly not the persuasive ability of men that causes men to believe. He said He had one message. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the message that we have, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's not about all these things that other people will tell you, perhaps, that it is. And I was with you in much fear, in weakness and fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, if your faith does not stand in the power of God, then it is of no use whatsoever. Now, how does a man's faith stand in the power of God except that it's given to him by the power of God? See, that's what faith is. It is the demonstration of the power of God in men. Many times in fashion which they don't even know it. Now, the Scriptures are speaking about Isaac and how he blessed. He blessed Isaac. He blessed Esau and Jacob, it says, in faith. Now, does that mean that he sat back and he said, "Now, Lord, I'm going to do a great work today"? No, but you see, he was in faith. Now, did he put himself in faith? No. He didn't put himself in faith. The Lord included him among... Read that, the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And read about those people that are included there. Samson. Jephthah. You remember who Jephthah was? He was the guy that said, first thing that comes out the gate, I'm going to offer it to the Lord. And guess what was the first person that came out of the gate? His daughter. Now, some have opined that he offered her as a burnt offering in the sense that he built a fire and burned her up. I don't believe that's what it has reference to. But nonetheless, he in one sense made a foolish vow, as men would say it. But you see, God uses the foolishness of men. In fact, the Scripture says that the wrath of man shall praise him. And guess what? The remainder of wrath He'll restrain. Anything, any amount of wrath. Do you realize, listen to what I'm telling you. Do you realize that that man plowing those people over in Paris, or where was it?
Nice.
Nice, over there in France. Do you realize, now whether you like to think about this or not, that was to the praise of God's glory. The wrath of man shall praise him. Now it was a wicked thing. It was an awful thing. It was a terrible thing. And the man got just exactly what he deserved when they shot him down. I mean, there's no doubt about all that. And the remainder of wrath God restrained. Just think about if God's, when God's restraints are removed, what would that be? I mean, if God, tomorrow, if God just took the restraints off of people and everybody just acted according to the basest thoughts and intents of their hearts, the human race would kill itself off in just a matter of days. It might not even take days. You know, I don't know how long it'd take, but it wouldn't take long till everybody had killed everybody else. I mean, and it'd just be a terrible thing. And I don't even know how I got off on that. But anyway, the faith that anybody that has been is set forth in the Scripture is not a badge of honor placed upon them. When the Lord said to this woman at this that came asking Him to help her daughter that was possessed of a demon, and He said of her, "I have not found so great faith in all Israel." Now, was He patting her on the head like a little puppy and saying, "You've really done a good job. Now go home and no. He ordained and gave the woman faith to demonstrate to these unbelieving Jews what faith was. And so He wasn't patting her on the head because she stood out in the crowd. But He manifested and blessed her. Now, don't ever mistake the fact that faith, where faith is a great blessing. I mean, where God is pleased to give men faith, there's also great blessing that comes along with that. In spite of them. Because in spite of our unbelief, yet if the Lord has granted to show us faith, the blessing is still ours, is it not? Absolutely. And so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, that goes contrary to most of what you hear today. Because most of what you hear today is preachers trying to stir up people to have faith. You need to have faith. And when you get enough faith, you need to send me some money. I mean, that's really the culmination of knowing whether or not you really have the faith is if you're willing to send me the money. That's when we'll know, if you do. Brethren, that's in the wisdom of men. That's stuff that's thought up in the minds of men. Our faith doesn't stand there. It stands in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. And we talked about this last week. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. What we're talking about is mysterious. How God would give men faith. I don't understand it. But it is a mystery, mysterious thing. And why the Lord gives it to some and not to others, that's His business. Even hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world for our glory, because it pleased Him to ordain His Son unto the cross. And if the men of this world had been given the knowledge that those who have been given faith now have, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. That's what it says right there, isn't it? They'd have never done it. If the Lord had been pleased to give, hadn't hid this thing from the Jews would have fallen down and worshipped Him, would they not? I mean, if He'd given them faith, wouldn't they have worshipped Him and said, "Here's the Messiah"? I mean, He was the Messiah. He was the one they said they were looking for. But the Lord hid it from them because it pleased Him. Why? Because these things were ordained for our glory. For whose glory? For those to whom He's pleased to give faith. That's what it is, dear brother. Because they wouldn't have done these things if they'd have known. You wouldn't have done it. You wouldn't have been in the crowd saying, "Crucify Him," if the Lord had brought you to know who He is, would you? Of course not. No, you'd have been doing everything you could to keep it from happening. But you see, if He hadn't have, if you'd have been successful, we'd have no redemption. So the redemption's ordained. But as it is written, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Now some read that as to say this: God prepared a bunch of stuff over here, and if you'll love Him, He'll give it to you. All it takes, you start loving Him. But you see, we love Him because He first loved us. We have faith because He gave it to us. Because it begins and ends with Him. And these things which God has prepared for them that love Him are not, this is not speaking about things in the future, although future things are included, but it's not. A lot of times, you know, you'll hear this read at funerals and stuff, and we don't know what it is, but we know that God prepared these things. Well, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the manifestation of faith, that is, the giving of the understanding of the things of God. It has not entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. That is, it has not. Man didn't figure it out. He didn't think it up. But God gave it to him. God prepared it. But God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. How would we know anything about the things of God unless the Spirit of God taught us? For the Spirit searcheth out these things. He knows these things. He sees these things. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Now, what he's saying there is, and this is kind of rhetorical reasoning here, he said, now, a man knows what's going on in a man. I mean, you know how the things of the world work. You know that if you go stick your ignition key in the car and everything's working right, that when you turn it, it'll crank up. I mean, you know that. How do you know that? It's just natural thinking. It's just of the earth. You know that if you take an axe and chop at the bottom of a tree enough times, it'll fall over. I mean, you know that. I mean, those are things that the spirit of a man, I mean, he just knows things that are of the earth. We know those things. We know food. Some foods are good to eat and some are not. Those are things we know. So, what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? That's just of the man. Even so, in the same way, just like a man's the only one that can know that, do dogs know how to put the key in the car and crank it up? No, they don't know. Why? Because they don't have the spirit of a man in them. They don't have the understanding of how things work. Even so, in the same way, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Just like a dog or a cat can't know something about that what a man knows, nobody can. No other creature, even the angels, can't know what it is to be a man. In the same way, no man can know what it is to be God except the Spirit of God. You can't know the things of God. It's impossible. Only way it could ever be shown to you is if God's pleased to show it to you. Because a man cannot, by searching, find out God. Neither can he in his own power lift himself up to hear and know those things. Well, we've run out of time. But this is the heart, really, I believe, of the gospel. I don't think that a man can really grasp what it is that the gospel is about unless he has some understanding of the fact that he can't know these things except the Lord shows them to him.